Hello, everyone. Welcome once again to the Ways of Faith podcast. This is Father Steve, and today is the eighth or the last day in the octave of Easter. It's the second Sunday of Easter. It's also Divine Mercy Sunday. And hopefully today we can wrap up our discussion of the great Easter hymn of the Exultet. As you know, we've been working our way through this lengthy but beautiful hymn that the deacon sings each Easter vigil. And my hope is that by doing this, by taking the time to kind of consider it line by line and look at the symbolism and the richness of the text, that then when we're able to attend the Easter vigil in person next year and we hear this great hymn, it'll have more meaning for us, right? It'll have more impact because we've had time to think about and to pray about the symbolism and the richness of what is being sung, okay? So we have four stanzas left to go to talk about today. So if you go to the text, which again, you can find the link in the podcast's page where it says click here for hymns and readings for the sacred triduum, okay? And if you scroll down to the bottom of the Exultet, and then just go back four, okay? Four stanzas, four sections. We left off yesterday talking about the candle being drawn out by mother bees to build a torch so precious, right? So now we pick it up today with O Truly Blessed Night. And interestingly, the author of the Exultet, it's almost like he, you know, forgot to mention one of the stanzas that he would have otherwise included earlier, because as you might recall earlier in the hymn, right, he says, O Blessed Night, this is the night over and over again, and kind of describes it in different ways. And here he goes back to that. But, you know, this is a particularly important one. So let's look at it. O truly blessed night, when things of heaven are wed to those of earth and divine to the human. Like I said, it's a very powerful, powerful theological significance there. When things of heaven are wed to those of earth and divine to the human, okay? Of course, first of all, it's a reference back to Jesus's conception in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, which we celebrate every year on March 25th, 9 months before Christmas, on what's called the Feast of the Annunciation of the Lord, when that was the first instance, right, of the human and the divine being brought together into one, when God became man. But it happens again in a powerful way here at the resurrection, death and resurrection of Jesus, because through his death and resurrection, Jesus has made possible for us, humanity, the ability to be united to God forever, eternally in heaven, because he has opened heaven for us, whereas before it was not open to us. It was closed because of our sinfulness, right? So by dying and rising for us, he has made possible the ability for heaven, the divine, God, and earth, human, mankind, to be united in one, the two become one. Which is why we use that language so often in talking about Christian marriage between a man and a woman, right? Is because Christian marriage is a symbol or a sign of that ultimate marriage between God and humanity, between God and man. That's why we refer to Jesus as the bridegroom and us, his church, as the bride. And we refer to heaven sometimes as the great wedding feast, right? Where we are united with him, the two become one, one heart, united with God forever in eternity. Not such that we, you know, lose our personality or kind of lose our sense of who we are, but like in a similar way to how a husband and wife, even though they're united, they still, you know, retain who they are. But there's a union between them that only married people can really experience or know, okay? And so this night has brought about the union, once again, of heaven and earth. How beautiful that is, right? Therefore, O Lord, we pray you that this candle, hallowed, think there, hallowed be thy name, right? That's a reference to the Our Father. hallowed to the honor of your name, blessed for the honor of your name, may persevere undimmed to overcome the darkness of this night, so that this candle may keep, be kept burning brightly. Now there, he's referring to the physical candle, which will stay lit throughout the Easter Vigil, and then of course, throughout the Easter season too. Every time we celebrate Mass, we light the Easter candle during the Easter season, right? It's always lit, okay? But it's also referring, I think, there symbolically too, not just to that physical Easter candle, but to the light of Christ himself, who is the light of the world, that that light may persevere undimmed to overcome the darkness of the world. Receive it as a pleasing fragrance, and let it mingle with the lights of heaven. It's powerful words there, right? Receive it as a pleasing fragrance, right? That's how sacrifice is often referred to in the scriptures, as a pleasing fragrance before the Lord, the smell of the sacrifice, right? Think of incense, for example. When we're offering incense, it has that sweet smelling fragrance or aroma, and that's an offering we make to God, okay? And let it mingle with the lights of heaven. Isn't that beautiful, right? Again, heaven and earth have been wed, right? They've been joined together. So as we enter into this liturgy, this Mass, every time we enter into Mass, we have one foot in heaven and one foot on earth, because Jesus is present, especially in the Holy Eucharist. And if Jesus is present, that means heaven is present. The angels and the saints are present. We are caught up in that heavenly band of angels and saints. We can't see all of that happening, of course, on earth. But if we had the eyes to physically, or the spiritual eyes to see it, we would see that at every Mass, the angels and the saints are present, because Jesus is present and they are his body, the church, right? So let this candle mingle with the lights of heaven. Let us be joined with heaven and the saints and the angels in worshiping you, okay? May this flame be found still burning by the morning star, the one morning star who never sets, Christ your Son. All right? And that's a reference to our baptism, because as you might recall, in the ceremony of baptism for an infant, after the child has been baptized, the Godfather will light the child's baptismal candle from the Easter candle, from Jesus's candle, okay? And the priest says, parents and godparents, this flame has been entrusted to you to be kept burning brightly. Now, obviously, we're not referring to the physical candle in that moment, because you're not going to be able to leave it lit forever. It wouldn't last forever. It wouldn't last more than a couple of hours, probably, right? But that candle is a symbol of the flame in their soul that is now alive, because God is in their soul. The Holy Spirit has come to dwell with that child who has been baptized and saved by God's grace. And so just as I am entrusting a physical candle and its flame to the Godfather, it's a symbol or a sign of the fact that parents and godparents, what has been given to this child, the new life, the new light in Christ, is entrusted to you to be kept burning brightly. It's your job to nurture that flame, to protect it from the wind of sin and distractions in the world, to shelter it, and to keep it burning brightly. All right. So we pray that we may be still found burning brightly by the morning star. And that's a reference to Jesus. Jesus is referred to as the morning star. That's a reference to the book of Revelation, which refers to Jesus that way. The morning star, typically for us, when we're talking about the morning star in the actual, you know, physical sky, astronomy, right? The morning star is the planet Venus, actually, which is often brightest right before sunrise. So if Venus is visible in the sky, it gets really bright right before the sun rises. But then, of course, it eventually sets too, okay? And that's, of course, what the author here is saying, is that you are the one morning star that never sets. You are always that bright star in the sky that never sets, that's always guiding us. Christ your Son, who coming back from death's domain, has shed his peaceful light on humanity. So coming back from the realm of the dead and rising from the dead, Jesus now shines his peaceful light on humanity for those who are willing to see it and to welcome it. Right? And that's the question for all of us as we conclude this Exultet and as we conclude this octave of Easter today. St. John, in the first part of his gospel talks about how Jesus was the light in the darkness, but some people in the world preferred darkness to light. And so they didn't accept the light. They shut it out of their lives. And that's the question for us. Have I accepted the light of Jesus into my heart to shine on those areas that I still have resisted him in some way? Some area in my life that I haven't turned over to him completely? Maybe some sin in my life that I haven't dealt with or that I haven't sought his forgiveness and mercy for? Have I let the light shine, the light of Jesus shine in my heart to set me free and to cast out the darkness? If not, then what a better time than now? Because this is the time of light, of resurrection, of joy, of victory over sin and death. So let us rejoice together as we conclude the octave of Easter, but continue the season of Easter for many weeks yet to come. God bless you. Act of spiritual communion. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there, and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen.